What's up, everyone? I'm Joe Lemon, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Marathon Selling Podcast. And this show is dedicated to understanding how we can achieve optimal health mentally and physically while winning in business today. So I'm building out a community of founders, side hustlers, entrepreneurs, sales professionals, marketers, and just overall business athletes that are committed to figuring out how to scale the smart way while pursuing their health for the long run. If this is you, join us over at themarathonsellingclub.com and let's get right into today's show. And today's special guest is with J.R. Burgess. And this is somebody that I've really admired online, honestly, because he works with a lot of healthcare providers and helping them optimize their clinics and their businesses, but also them as a person. And he really specializes in this tagline of helping heal the healers. And I thought that was a really good way to kind of look at it, because if you're broken down off your burnout, with a lot of people know that burnout in healthcare is a big deal, that, you know, you run yourself dry trying to help other people. As a personal trainer, I experienced a lot of that. And, you know, it wasn't that I was like only trying to be a personal trainer, that's what got me, but it's the management of just trying to be an entrepreneur while you're trying to help other people, and you're just giving and giving and giving, and normally you don't have anything left in the tank to actually take care of yourself. So we talk about a lot of strategies about how to avoid that, shares his stories about how he overcame his own burnout, you know, addiction, and just really kind of working through a lot of just things that a lot of us struggle with, being with your family while also trying to build a business. Grab a pen and pad, man, because he walks through a step-by-step strategy. He lays out a game plan for people in this space, or really this is for any small business owner, that we can all apply to how we can really focus on doing the things that are going to move the needle for us, not only on the business front, but also taking care of yourself as a whole person. And as a new father, I appreciate this actual conversation and something that I just kind of lock into, because you really start thinking bigger than yourself. You start thinking about legacy. And man, after you go through a couple times of burnout, you already know better than to try to just go back in it the same way that you did before. So with that said, guys, sit back and enjoy this episode with JR. Dude, welcome on to the podcast, JR.
Thank you, man. This is going to be an amazing conversation, and everything that you just said in there, I'd love to dive deep into there. And, you know, my journey really began when I was critically teased in the fifth grade, and a teacher stood me up on the desk and said I had lack of cartilage in my ears, and I could literally feel my soul dying. I didn't want to show back up at school. I was this happy, outgoing guy. But I don't say that to make anybody sad. That was actually, when I look for, you know, back connecting the dots, the greatest gift that I was ever given, because what that gave me is the empathic ability to want to sit with other people who were in pain or suffering. And now my goal now is to help the healers heal, but they got to heal themselves first before they can heal the world, because they've gone through burnout. They've gone through programming. They've gone through the mind running the show versus the heart running the show. But what all this led to is the only thing that could quiet my mind was sports. And I wasn't the most talented, but that shut my mind, my depression, my fear, my self-worth down, where I was never the most talented, but I become in depth. Yeah. I studied so much. I would read the whole field. I would practice hard. I would bring my body to extremes, even though I loved it. That allowed me to see the whole playing field. So everything from that moment, I could start seeing a bigger picture of what things looked like. And this person's strengths and weaknesses are best used here. Here's my strengths and weaknesses. I could observe the other team and see the strengths and weaknesses and really start to look at the big picture of thinking. And that's where my training and mind began, but school wasn't for me. We got in trouble. I hated authority after that. So I got cooked out of everything. And when I was 12 years old, I found my second love other than sports, which was drugs and alcohol. That would allow me to go from the shy, introverted person to the life of the party, to my true being, and happiness and joy would come out. But at the end of the time, I took sports to the extreme. I took drugs and alcohol to the extreme, to where those started to have a degenerative or a negative or consequences in different aspects of my life. But I didn't care. I was going to go build water towers. I had no inclination to go to high school, or I mean to college. And if it wasn't for baseball and sports, I would have never graduated. So that was where I went and built water towers for a year after high school. And I realized what hard work was. and all my buddies were playing college baseball. And I was like, I'm not smart enough to go back, but I want to go play ball. So I had to go take a year of prerequisites before I even got a college credit, and then played community college baseball for a couple of years. Realized I wasn't stupid. I just needed to not be told what to do.
Yeah.
And I needed to have my own purpose, which was to work in professional sports at that time. So that was my beginning journey to give me the gifts of strategy, empath, wanting to sit with people and understanding. I have no judgment. Most people sedate with alcohol, drugs, sports,
right,
workaholism, all from our subconscious Netflix, programming that happened at a young age.
You already touched on a ton already, man. I mean, because you're absolutely right. One of the beauties of sports is that I think it helps people find their flow state early in life, because it's just like what you said, you can throw yourself into it. You can study the game, you start studying players, you start studying yourself, and you get into this tunnel vision mentality. That's a very good place to be. I mean, it's really great whenever you can kind of lock in and just tune out the rest of the world, right? It doesn't matter what else is happening. You're focused on your game. And I think that's a great place. And it makes sense that you translated that skill set over to being this master architect for what you're building now. But, you know, let's kind of start with something that you already mentioned. Let's start with that burnout piece, man. Like, that's what got me out of personal training. I was training. I was trying to manage other trainers, and I was like herding cats. And I got burned out when I was back in Atlanta doing this, man. But have you kind of gone through this burnout? And obviously, I know that you're working with other doctors now to help them avoid that burnout. So can you talk about that whole art of kind of being able to manage and produce and scale up as well?
Yeah, there's two things, just because I can get passionate and get off on a tangent one way or another. Yeah. I would like to, you know, discuss the burnout and also why I think competition, just like anything, has its amazing gifts, but anything taken too far is what the world doesn't need. Yeah. And I'll be able to reference that back. But we saw, well, as a personal trainer, I finished college, played rugby, played baseball, fell in love with rugby, and I'll share why. Rugby is special to competition in the other side of what I would call collaboration. But as I was going through these things, I would push everything to the extreme. Alcohol, drugs, work. So I saw the show The Biggest Loser, right? And it's like, that's it. When the doctor tells the patient to lose weight, I could be this passionate personal trainer, really good at what I did, but they have the authority. So I had already had 5 knee surgeries while going through grad school. I would play rugby on the weekends. I'd limp all week long. And one of my patients told me about PRP that he had had for his shoulder, wanted to avoid surgery. So I went and saw this Dr. Baumgartner fella, and he said, JR, because you exercise and eat well, you're going to get a better outcome. But let me look at your vitamin D, your thyroid, see what is happening internally so we can optimize you. I did 3 treatments. I was back to playing rugby at full strength 3 months later. So I was like, this is it. And he says, JR, I'm family practice sports medicine. If I give somebody cortisone, I'm covering it up. If I give somebody a pill, I'm covering it up. Will you join me and be the lifestyle, the behavior to address the patients? And I'm like, absolutely. So we went from 1,000 square feet to 6,000 to 28,000 square feet. We started licensing our model all around the country. I got to 60 locations licensed. We started a mastermind because I recognized so many of the doctors weren't good at the vision, the business, the marketing and sales. So even though I believe any healthcare system without exercise, nutrition, or addressing the emotional component is managed care and not true healthcare, this is what was happening. But at this time, I'd overcome alcohol, but I would still play these sports and get injuries. So to today, I've had 11 stem cell treatments. I've had 13 surgeries. I've came down with Lyme's disease. I thought I had the capacity and the will to outproduce, outwork everybody. I could just work double the hours. My ego is in the way. I've been given the gift of being able to handle the extreme behaviors until I couldn't.
Right.
So my body was starting to fail and degenerate. I was following my father's footsteps unawarely, meaning I wasn't showing up as the husband and father. So this work had became the other addiction. I couldn't play the sports anymore because the injuries, but now I'd given up the alcohol, but it was cannabis sedating, even though, you know, there was many shame and traumas that I had to overcome with that. and I had to sell my shares. I had all the income in the world that I could have ever dreamed of, all the impact, I had thought leader books speaking on every stage, but I was dying inside. And so in 2019, I sold my shares and thankfully began an inward journey of emotional and subconsciously looking at what's going on, what programming's running the show. And for the first time in 15 years, I have no addiction. Wow. All that's been given up. I will choose it when I want to and if I decide to.
Sure.
I have no more chronic pain, and it's because the deep inner emotional work. So after all my years of in this integrative care, nobody's addressing the whole mind, body, energetic, emotional, spiritual component of healthcare. And back to your question now is that's the next rendition, is a model that, not saying that we weren't doing amazing, but there's always a next level. And once you become aware, there's what do we do to fill that gap, to be the world's best at ever what we were called to do. And that's hopefully what I address the journal is, if you are not showing up of in business and in your own life, healthy, and in your family's life, disconnected, unemotional, unavailable, these relationships aren't great, what's next? Am I going to address this or just continue to go down? It's my wife's fault. She doesn't see that I'm working hard, or it's because my dad did this or whatever. If we're blaming the world versus taking radical responsibilities, we are not at our highest being or potential, in my opinion, yet.
I love that, man. 20 comes around and now things kind of start to kind of, you know, ease the brakes on, right? And you're forced to kind of look at yourself in the mirror, which you don't normally have to stop and do. Right. And having that moment where you're like, man, I'm good. I'm great at work, but maybe I'm slacking at home or not, you know, or like non-existent or not present. And you're forced to kind of deal with these things in life. And so I love the fact that you guys are building out something along this route. And let's talk about the business, man, because a lot of times that's one of my clients' biggest issues. I'm not sure if I mentioned it to you earlier, but I work in this space. I normally sell a lot of capital equipment, like shockwave therapy devices is the main product that we carry. It works well with like exosomes and, you know, PRP, right? It's used.
P-shot, the O-shot, the muscle, it's definitely got its place in there. It's a big deal.
100%. So you know all about this. But one of my clients' biggest issues are, if I make this investment with you, Joe, and spend the 20, 30, 40, whatever it is, right? Grand. How can I not rely on the insurance company to actually make this money back? And it seems like you have a good recipe. So how did you guys do it in the past, or what's your thoughts for doing it in 2021?
Yeah, so great question. And it comes down to, there's four problems that every entrepreneur, especially in the healthcare or wellness space, is going to face. Mm-hmm. The first one, and that's why I've had to learn the hard way of how to market, how to become the top volume regenerative medicine center in the world, is why I now created an 80-page pamphlet instead of the 200-page books that I did the first time, and all the cute stuff, is how to attract and retain your preferred patients and build a profitable practice that matters.
I need that book, bro. Yeah. I'm about to get it from you.
Exactly. So it comes down to that first, is they think it's the insurance or the dependence. So on what we call the Grand Canyon, where that's the gap, right? We're on one side. How do I, if my insurance doesn't cover it, people won't pay cash, or they won't buy my $10,000 personal training program or the ultimate package. They're Medicare patients. They can't afford it. That's the story we tell ourselves. Versus on the other side is, you could be booked out 2 months long, or you could be having unlimited cash paying patients. And what we have to do is cross that Grand Canyon. There's the gap. So the first thing is, it comes down to, if you don't believe in what you do, you don't have absolute conviction of that your solution is the best in the world, then yes, nobody's going to buy your energy or your passion or you're there. So show up if you believe in what you're doing. And how do we know? Is it getting outcomes? Does it get solutions? I absolutely fell, and this took a hard experience for me. A lady that I used to sell, and we all start there. As a personal trainer, I was selling 10 session packages or a 3 month package, right?
Yeah.
And I knew I was really good. I'd already helped 7 people lose 100 pounds.
Wow.
essentially, she came to me and I knew she drank. I knew she went to the casino and we lost 20 pounds in that 10 sessions. She's like, JR, thank you so much. I'm going to go do this on my own. You changed my life. I said, I think we still have more work to go, but if you're convinced you can do this, call me if you need me. Yeah. Well, I got a call 6 months later that she died of a stroke. And I took that really hard, because if I would have fought for her, if I would have known the psychological stages of change, like I know now, people don't overcome addictions, traumas, identities in 3 months. So that was a wake up call. Anybody after that, I felt like I was killing them if they walked out the door. So I went from a 30% closer to a 90% closer. So that's the first place. It's not your government. It's not your insurance. It's not your marketing agency. Is do you show up and are you prescribing the ultimate transformation program that's actually going to change somebody's life versus let them off the hook or not going there? Doesn't mean we can't sell the a la carte, but if we don't start with the big deal or start with the small care and have a path or a next level, then we're just missing the boat. So it comes down to crossing this bridge. That's phase one, conviction. Phase two is your niche. You can't be everything to everybody. Phase three is, what is your unique transformational protocol? Do you have a system that shows consistent, predictable outcomes? Stage four, can you actually message and tell stories? Because science and experts tell stories, and coaches propel and sell and transform. Right? So the doctors, they're in the head and they're wondering, why can't I do this? Well, because you're boring. People like 50 Shades of Grey or superhero movies. They don't listen to science. Boring. So doesn't mean that they're wrong on what they're trying to teaching. It just doesn't hit the emotional side of the brain. They need a little bit of logic, which is social proof. Does this work? But then they need the passion, the emotion, the conviction, the story of people coming the other side. And then the fifth side of it is, what is the patient journey? How do they see the milestones? How do they see themselves as the hero in the journey? And people don't go through the work. They just want to pay for marketing or say it doesn't work or blame the world, versus it just comes down to it. Just like, you know, sales is a skill. You weren't good on day one. You practiced, you became convicted, you believed in what you did. So it's no different than the doctor. They weren't an amazing injectionist on day one. It took reps, it took sessions, it took the practice and work. So that is problem number one. How do I be booked out 2 months long? And we're just kidding ourselves if we don't at least solve that first problem. Anything to reiterate on that before we get to problem number two?
Man, conviction, 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 man. Like, people not showing up. That's why, I mean, even with this conversation, if the audience is listening, right, notice the story that JR has set us up on. He started with his backstory. Then he talks about his own inner work, about how he can show up positively. And then he talks about being convicted into what he believes he's going to help change people with. So, dude, it's money, bro. It's money. Just keep it coming. Keep it coming. Thank you. Yeah.
Stage two. So in business, once you solve the marketing and sales challenge, because it's all about communication, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that I just said there, the ultimate skill is communication. Level two is the stacking of that communication. For you to go, you only make money from your one-on-one time and care. So whether you're a personal trainer or a coach, that is unscalable. If you're doing your marketing, if you're doing your admin, your QuickBooks, your laundry, all that stuff, then I'm not saying you can't make a good living, but your impact is not scalable beyond your own time. Okay. So what is that Grand Canyon again there? You're doing it all versus what is stage one, crossing that bridge. Right? You've delegated to an admin. You understand your value and what you need to show up from an hourly standpoint. Two, you inspire a vision. You're delegating. You're making something that's bigger than yourself. Millennials especially, we want to blame them. Oh, they're not hardworking. No, they want to show up in a business that matters and that they care to. And they don't want to work 90 hours a week because that burns people out. They don't have the family and to do the things that they love. So why are they going to listen to this old wise tale that doesn't work? And trust me, I bought into it. I'm not judging here, but at the end of the day, my family was suffering. My passions, my happiness, even though I loved what I do, but not everybody else will love me under there. So can you inspire a vision? Delegate. Number three, you're doing what you do best. So that may be the offensive skills in your business, the marketing and the message, the sales, the procedures, the group visits, running whatever you love to do that fills you up. Everything else needs to be put into a system and delegated and build this process so you can expand your impact if you want. So that is what it is to taking the cross the bridge. Step four, you have core processes and systems and automation. Step five, you just show up. You get to take the vacation. You have passive income and revenue streams that are generating income because they solve all of your clients' or patients' problems because you see the big picture. So if you're a personal trainer, they need supplements. They may need mental health. They may need all these other components that stack to where you don't have to be the expert of all of it, but you get an amazing outcome because you think of everything your patients or your clients need. Any questions or reframes in stage two of doing what you're doing it all, or you're doing what you do best and you actually are an entrepreneur?
Man, you know what? It's one of the biggest differences between building or trying to create your own job versus creating an actual business. I've created a lot of jobs in the past where I had to show up and it was for me. I got paid for my time as a trainer. I got paid for my time doing like sales management. I'm clocked in, I get paid. But as soon as I clock out, all the money stops, right? I mean, so I want to press into that system for a little bit, if you're all good with this, because I think a lot of these small business owners, a lot of these private practice owners, right? They're like, man, I don't have a budget where it's like I can do a crazy amount of Facebook ads and like a lot of other marketing things that will help me try to at least start building up this actual funnel and then try to get that whole, you know, really try to get that whole wheel turning, man. I mean, what's your whole thoughts around, you know, grassroots style, small, you know, small business, micro business, less than 10 people in the, you know, at their actual shop? How do they get into that system process, man? Any kind of tips there?
Great question. And the fact of the matter is we all start somewhere, mm-hmm. right? But the minute you say, I don't have, or I can't, or they, you're giving your power away. That is the subconscious programming that every doctor or every client, and that's why we all need coaches, right? Yeah. Is we're not aware of what we're saying. So the minute you're saying that, it's more likely to be true. So when you say, instead, you change your language. Who can show me based on the stage that I'm at how to be organic? I don't have the budget right now, but how do I create the budget that will allow me to scale and grow? So mindset, yeah. And I'll tell you one thing, is the mind is a very horrible leader, but it's a very powerful servant.
Yeah.
The heart is the master leader, but a horrible servant. So it's the combination of being in your head and the brain, because if you tell whatever, it's going to lead the show. But if you just say, I was called, mm-hmm. I know I'm meant to do good. Who is that person that can show me? Who can I go mentor with? Who can I provide a little bit of value first? So when I was a personal trainer, some of them say, well, the gym people, they don't give me clients at this fitness gym. Well, I went and trained everybody for free for 2 months and then started asking, well, would you like to continue? And I built myself up there. So we have to be resourceful when we don't have the budget and be willing to give value to receive value. It's an equal exchange. So there's all these free resources. We met on Clubhouse, right? Yeah. If you can't go ask your question and get free advice there, I don't know what else to tell you. I wish I didn't spend the millions of dollars I spent on coaching and there where I could go now and get it for free. But there's something into investing in yourself that increases your having level. So there's no regret to that. But man, there's all the opportunities in the world right now to go be resourceful inside of there.
Keep going. Sorry.
To answer your first question, how do you scale beyond your impact is you document everything that you're doing. So there's a handful of core processes if you're going to scale is a starting step of doing what you do best, delegating what you shouldn't be doing, and then always, so it's, I call it a cross, and this is where it's at. What is that unique gift that you want to do? What do you know how to do that you can create a system? There's the client fulfillment or patient fulfillment system, the marketing system, the sales system, the operation system, the financial system, the HR system. That's pretty much it. So whatever you're doing, create this little video. There's free apps that do screen flows that you record it and then you delegate and you put a few metrics behind it And then you learn how to, again, communicate or hold somebody to a standard. They call it the Mendoza line in baseball, right? If you hired an assistant and don't tell them what to do, they're guessing. We got to train and develop people. But hey, if you're, let's just say, since you're a sales, culture here, if you don't train your people how to do this process, let's just say the Mendoza line in baseball is 230. Great. You're great at the phone call. You get them on the books, but your close rate, you got to close 50%. Otherwise we're killing people. They're walking out of here coming from a problem to be solved and it's not there. You may be pro at X, Y, and Z on your job description, these four things, but let me bring you down to the amateurs here for a little bit. We're going to train and develop. And if you can't in the amateurs in the next 3 months, learn how to gain the skill or gain confident, then this isn't probably the best job for you right now. We want to put you into a place where you can get out of these pros or do what you're doing really well, or that sets you free if you're not willing to overcome these limiting beliefs or learn this process or get convicted, because everybody's got a unique gift somewhere. And that's the bottom third of this, is that unique gift. That's what we should be doing. That's what we love. Everybody, every company needs the follow through or the admin person or the creative or the sales or the strategic or the fact finder. So it's just like, we go take jobs that don't align because we need a paycheck, right? Versus they're all lessons in learning, and communication and sales is the greatest lesson of all in business. But that bottom left is, if I'm clear and you are clear, what do you want, Joe? So meaning I want to travel the world with my family, mm-hmm. consult, mm-hmm. speak using my best God-given gifts. So for me, that was when I was traveling the world, I would go speak on these conferences and I would close one or two people. But then I'd go to these other events and they'd get the stage rushes and 30 people would join their mastermind. I'm like, what the heck am I doing? Until I go to a conference and I hear Lisa Sasevich go, and she's like, join my webinar or my mastermind, speak to sell. Speak to sell, that's clear to the outcome that I want. Remember I said in the first thing, unique branded system or protocol, we wanna name that as close as the outcome as possible. So A, this quarter or this year, I'm gonna do everything to gain this skill that I know is gonna allow me to do what I'm clear and what I want to do. So if you're not training both personally to keep yourself full or from a skill standpoint in business, you're again kidding yourself. You don't not have the resources. You don't have the clarity or the desire or the willingness to do what it takes right now.
JR, man, I gotta say, man, I mean, like, dude, you are laying out a serious game plan for people. And that's one of the reasons why once we kind of first linked up on like Clubhouse, I was like, oh, I gotta have you on the show, because there's obviously a lot going on here. You know what I mean? Because documenting your actual process is something that I think people overlook, just like it's nothing. And it's like, and then they wonder why they have trouble trying to scale out. Well, they just hire somebody and there's nothing for them to kind of know what to do after they're on the team, right? They're there having to hold their hand through every step of the way. And that's something that we can all be doing right now as solo entrepreneurs, as people that are just like two or three people in an actual room together trying to figure it out. Just start documenting that thing, man. So, dude, that was great, bro. That was great, man. I mean,
yeah,
man.
It just comes down to that.
Hmm? It really does.
There. I mean, it's just there. And just, we are coaches, right? We are salespeople. We are doing this. We must train our team. Mm-hmm. If we just said, come join us, and we don't have that, it's not on them. Mm-hmm. It's like, I want you to treat your team members holistically, just like you would want to treat yourself, which we hire them and maybe they're good for the first month, right? Mm-hmm. Just like when we're dating in a relationship, everything's awesome month number one and two, and we got that flame. And then they're like, oh, they're not this and that. But what we forget is, are we still showing up with the same passion? Are we training them? Are we developing them? If they start showing up or they're late, do we just say, oh, let's fire them or we got to go? Or do we sit down and say, what's going on? Is everything okay? So this is the script that I give when I'm hiring people, is our core values are critical to us. And so are our job descriptions. We're going to train you to do these five things really well. And that's going to determine that you have the confidence to show up. You're going to feel really good about your job. And what I want to do is, our culture's critical to us. And so is you being very happy in our job. And what I think is the worst thing in the world, when people are fired or dumped when they have no idea what's going on. It wrecks their soul. It wrecks their confidence. Yeah. So what I want to ask of, I'm about to extend this offer to you, is will you do me one promise? If for whatever reason you don't feel the core values is what I sold you about our company here, or you're not feeling confident in your job description, or you're not happy, will you come to me and give me 30 days to make it right? So imagine a CEO selling that to an employee. So instead of them being fearful or quiet, not doing that and believing it, treating them holistically. And every time I've ever said that, you know what they say every time? Yes. And I say, thankful. That's music to my ears. I promise to do the same thing for you. So if you're ever not succeeding these expectations or troubled or any of our core values, we don't feel like the team and what we stand for here struggling, I'll come to you, communicate, give you a training plan or a development to see if we can make it right. And as long as we go through it the right way, even if it's not the right fit for you, mm-hmm. and you stay true to our culture, I will always be your best advocate. So meaning many of us think it's about our clients and patients. It's about your team first. You want a championship team? It's about your team. Then it's about your self, meaning mm-hmm. you got to be healthy, because if your body battery isn't there, which is like a car battery, if your battery's dead, you can't jumpstart another car. So you got to be able to take care of yourself, show up with energy and passion and conviction. Otherwise, they're not going to follow you anyways. So it's about your team. Then it's about your business, because happy wife, happy life, happy employees, happy, you know, happy patients customers. Or clients.
Yeah. I mean, man, you know, I'm really glad that you're talking about hiring, because that's a big part of scaling, right? And you know, man, it's funny, because if you think about how most people put out even job ads, it's more so about them. Look at what we have. Look at what, these are our requirements. Before you apply, I need you to have this, this, and this amount of experience, this degree. It's all me focused, right? But then you expect them to be about the team. You made it all about you. And then you expect a brand new person to come there and be about the team. In 2021, we have the most options ever as an employee to go anywhere, do it how we want to do it, launch a business for $150, do our own thing, all this stuff, right? I mean, I think that's a big, big part of what people have kind of missed out on, some great quality people, because they put their focus on themselves opposed to putting it on the people that they're looking to kind of bring on board.
It's called entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Most people don't want to work 80 hours a week and do what it takes to build a business. Right. But if you make them own their position, their life, you develop them personally and professionally, they will stay loyal for a long time. So it's asking them what they want personally and professionally and being able to show up in that regard. No different when you and your partner read the love languages. I may love to love with acts of services, but mm-hmm. she may want quality time. If you're not in a relationship and delivering on both people's ends, good luck. That's what we call the narcissist lover or our person, our business owner. It's not about I, it's about we and team and filling each other's needs. But you fulfill theirs first. Well, you're taking care of yourself and know what you want and clear in that communication. Wow, magical things happen, which lead us to you start to get the patients and clients. Then that next problem is building that team and that vision. And the third problem is going to show up. Is we're doing well, we're busy in volume, but are we selling the transformational programs? Mm-hmm. Like we're booked out, we're busy. Are we the highest ticket? Meaning, are we scheduled in a group fashion? Because the one-on-one care is not scalable. So are you working well in your community? Now it's about that best-selling book that takes you beyond your community. And it's even easier now virtually. Most people want to jump right to this. I have the solution, let me go worldwide. If you can't make it work locally and globally, community with your family, then you're going to suffer to try to scale globally. So I hear a lot of big visionaries, they talk this big vision, but yet it's not working from a marketing standpoint. It's not working from a scalability standpoint. So that truthful conversation is, until level one and two are working here, you got to get out of vision mode. We need implementation mode. And so many visionaries are, let me go to another idea and business idea too, and let me do this. If your bread and butter is not working, then you are only adding fuel to the fire by adding anything more, and you're creating chaos. So visionary thinking changes the world when execution and outcomes is at the center of it. So that is step three, outcomes, and everything's working well before you become the thought leader or the influential doctor or the person that can change the world.
JR, man, I got to tell you, this conversation alone has been money, bro. Like, I mean, spot on. And it's good for me to hear it as like a brand new dad. Like, I've literally stopped and I've kind of taken this whole month off from doing a lot of social and posting. Cause I'm like, man, I got a whole new life reset. Let me just kind of dive in and figure out what the hell I'm at, where I'm at right now, you know? Plus, I'm not getting a lot of sleep. You know, so I wanted to kind of take that moment to pause, but you're right though. Cause when the stuff is off at home, good luck at the job. You can do it, but you're not going to do both. Like, you aren't going to like max out at the house and max out at the job if you're disconnected at home. You can max out the job and not care about anything at the house. Up until you can get both of those things working together, man, it's just a tough pill to swallow. I'm trying to add anything else to that fire. Keep
going. That's step number four. Most of them will still chase the business and add more work and time right there.
Yeah.
And they'll ignore it. And why do I say this from experience? Is because this was me. We were booked out months long. We are scalable. I'm doing what I do best. I have a team of 100 people. I'm delegating everything, right? We're seen as a thought leader. Speaking on the stages, people come into our events failing. My relationships were failing. I was following my father's footsteps, even though he didn't know what he knew, and I love him to death, but he wasn't there for me, right? So my kids and behavior was not acting out. So that's where I had to make a decision. Continue to follow my ego and significance, or sell the business and shares and go inward and deep into the emotional standpoint. Because if those three things, now it's all about having it all, which means you gotta have yourself first. And I'm a Christian, and it's easy to be programmed to say, well, you gotta serve others and everything. Just back to my analogy, if your battery is dead, you can't charge the other people. And I thought it was my wife didn't see me or didn't respect me. And it was like, no, I'm going and doing the inner work. This took me, instead of driving, I liked the hard workouts. So when the pandemic happened, it was yoga for the first time because of reoccurring injuries. Then it became meditation. Then it became EMDR therapy, hypnosis, plant medicine. My head was way too strong, man. So I had to get in my heart. And because I'm changing, now my wife is changing and my children are happy and I'm having these beautiful vacations. And now all these business opportunities that I've told you, the right model that I recognized wasn't working is now attracting because I've done the self work. And I know the money and the income will come again, but that didn't serve happiness. I'm happy and in my heart now. I just know I'm called to do big things. So it's like, I'm going to work, but now it's about balance. I had all the stories of the traumas, and I've given up the alcohol and I did this and it wasn't my partner. It's all about me. Radical responsibility from my heart's truth of what I'm called to do. And not being aggressive in my communication, not being passive, feeling emotions,
yeah,
deciding whether to breathe through that or deciding whether, hey, I'm something from my perception, meaning their perception is probably different, is off here. Anger is not a bad thing, but why am I having this anger? Well, okay, let me not react, but let me communicate softly and gently saying, I'm feeling frustrated that is there. This is my perspective, but mind me asking, you know, how are you feeling about this situation? Because I feel maybe you're not seeing, you know, what I'm trying to do, or this is creating extra work for me, or whatever that thing is. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on that. Man. Oh my goodness, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And I wish you would have told me earlier. Yes, people get resentful or grip because they're not communicating. So communication right back to from the heart is the ultimate skill that is going to elevate us in business and in clients and employees and in our wives and in our children. And then you start to have your family come and ask you, what are you doing, Joe? What are you doing, JR? Not when you tell them, Ma, you should exercise and eat the right way because I know how to fix you. Yeah. That is projecting. Do yourself first. They will come.
That's so real, man. That's so real, man, because one of the things that I'm learning through just how do you navigate tough conversations, right? this happens in business, this happens a lot more with like family members and just day-to-day life, right? And you have these tough conversations, but I think a lot of times we approach these conversations not understanding what we want to see accomplished out of them. So I could bring something to you, but then I'm just projecting what I want to see you do, right? I'm like, JR, this is wrong. This is off. You're kind of missing the mark on this, but this is me just spewing up on you without even truly understanding what I wanted to bring or see happen out of our relationship. And that applies to so much because everything that you're talking about right now is all about you doing your inner work first, and then you start to work outward, right? And that's some of the hardest stuff. It's some of the hardest stuff to actually deal with, but it's the biggest bang for your buck, it seems like, man.
But that's why we're here today. If mm-hmm. you are wanting to be a champion in your life, mm-hmm. if you're wanting to create this culture and having it all, it begins with you. And trust me, I went to all the Tony Robbins and the personal, and that brought me there.
Yeah.
But it was the deep inner work, the hypnosis, the subconscious that brought me here. And I'm not saying there I'm there all the time. Yeah. I now have exercises and things when I am in anxiety and fear that bring me into awareness. And this is my new training. It is Jedi training in awareness in that's going through. It's the next level. And there's no shame in what I was. It's just all we have to do is evaluate. Are we happy? Yeah. Are we healthy? Are the people around us? And are we progressing? Many of us want $1 million or 500 locations or whatever. Well, how do you get there? You got to have 2 locations before you get to 500. And you measure progress. You measure steps and goals along the way. And when you have a block, you say, who can help me get there? Who's the coach that is in that place? And that's where, you know, ultimately I'll tell you the story of rugby now, if that's okay, if you don't have any reframes.
Yeah, please.
As I mentioned from the beginning, sports took me to one level. And I wouldn't be where I am. It drove my passions, my competitive, my strategy. But at the end of the world, competition has created divide, hate, not cooperation. Because let me give you an example. We played in our small community. We would have fights with our crosstown people because of the rivals at the end of football games and right. If I look at it and I knew them personally or they're on my team, they'd be my best friends.
Yeah.
Right? So when I got into playing rugby in college, at the end of the game, we still wanted to impose our will, beat the other team. And that felt great, right? To release that energy and emotion. But I was blown away when we had a barbecue for them. We hosted the other team. We tapped that keg of beer for them. We started drinking together. An hour later, I was drinking beer out of their boots and we're singing songs and we're high-fiving and we're kissing the girls from the other team. And we're doing all that fun, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And rugby became a brotherhood that I could go to a different sport. And at the end of every game, you love your mates, mm-hmm. even if you're competing them. And I recognize this in healthcare. The MD would say the chiropractor is a quack. And now the chiropractor is saying, well, that energy medicine doesn't fit. And the surgeon saying that MD doesn't know what they're doing. And the only place is healthcare is where they don't reward innovation and change. And it's because it's been programmed by the profit monster that is there. So at the end of the day, there's a threat to getting people healthy into the big system where I think it's all needed. People that aren't willing to make a change, they need the managed care and the pharmaceuticals. So this future model is about the mind, body, soul. So until we high five the personal trainer and even the CrossFit guy and even the keto and the paleo, and it's just as rampant in fitness industry as it is in healthcare.
Yeah.
It all has a place. It all has a work. And don't worry about the other people because you're giving that energy away versus who's that person you can get on here, communicate your message with that's going to resonate with what you're saying because there's so many people out there. We got to get out of this scarcity competition mind and cooperate. We can compete. We can refer. And that's why, again, I love Clubhouse. Everybody's view and perspective matters. It all has a place. And the most successful people in the world don't worry about what other people are doing. They have clear calling, they have clear mission, and they attract because they know how to communicate their message and they live in that.
Dude, man, you know what, man? So I have this thing, and not to get too woo-woo on you here, but I think that we're already there, right? It's the fact that abundance, man, abundance mindset, when you start to realize how many opportunities there are out there. Like, and I think so many times we get into the zero sum game where it's like, it's either me or you, right? There's only one champion here. And it's like, either I'm right or you're wrong. You know, like somebody's got to lose. And life has a lot of things that we can pull and learn from sports, but life isn't that zero sum game of winning that championship. That's not what it is. And I think you said something great in your stage one of niching down. Once you really understand who you serve, how you best serve people to get the best outcomes, I mean, people start to realize like, oh, well, I don't need to serve the whole LA County. I just need guys with one eye, with like one eyebrow, you know, like who are about 5'8", 200 pounds. And then you get this very narrow group that you can get great outcomes for. And I think once we kind of turn it to that in like healthcare, and we start to realize other people's limitations on what we can do, what we can't do, what you're really working on, basically, game over.
I'll take that to another level, just please, so we can get past this, because this is most people's limiting beliefs at this stage, right? You could niche down. Let's just say we want to work with women that are 22 to 28 years old. Well, okay, there's going to be the other woman who works with that same niche that is maybe more passionate and high strung in energy. That's going to attract a certain people that A, either doesn't have that energy and knows they want that, or B, already has that energy and they're like, that's my soul sister.
Or there's
going to be the other person that's soft, and that person that's too aggressive or too loud is going to say, I need a softer, more mellow approach. I have children now. I know this maybe is there. So it doesn't matter. And what we get is imposter syndrome. Is we try to either copy what somebody else is doing or their words or their system, or I'm not good enough, or I don't know what they do. When you can tell your passion, your story, your beliefs, who you want to help, that's what makes you one of a kind or first of a kind. Nobody has J.R. Burgess's story of the trauma, maybe expressing fully transparency. I don't care. I'll tell you I got kicked off my baseball team. I'll tell you I smoked pot like it was going out of style. But at the end of the day, nobody can deny my results.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I was a bad person. It may disattract 400 doctors that say he was a druggie. I don't have a problem attracting the business of those that suffer addiction and silence or one form of another, like is nearly every American in the world, whether it's food, drugs, work, or whatever. They're saying, oh my goodness, I want to live in that truth and honesty. And I love that. So not saying I'm right or they're wrong. The more repelling somebody can even be, the more they'll attract. I don't be repelling. I'm just truthful. And I believe everybody has something for everybody. So what I don't stand for is profits over people and victimhood. Not that I shouldn't have been teased or raped or whatever that may be. It's just if I'm suffering in that today. And I'd like everybody to go through this with me right here as we kind of come to a close.
Yeah.
If I want to be in oneness and be grateful that I'm alive today, and I put my hands in prayer and just so thankful that I have this opportunity, that I can listen, that I'm breathing and I have gratitude, that is oneness. Now, if I open my hands right here, and I think my dad wasn't there, or that stupid teacher shouldn't have did that, or my mom or my dad, or if I would have only did this or that, if I didn't make that mistake, right? That is the past. That suffering's over. You no longer can change that, unfortunately. Yeah. So even though there may have been physical harm or pain, we can choose to suffer in the future with it. That's optional. Now the future. When I get 500 businesses, I'll be happy. When I'm making $100,000, when I have the wife of my dreams, I'll be happy. Yeah. That is negative thinking. That is living in the future in anxiety or depression, or when I have this, I'll be happy. So anytime we're in the past or the future in that way, we're in our ego. And that's what this is. You are not vibrating or attracting or manifesting. You can believe it or not, but there's truth in science to vibration and having what you want. So when you want to be in your ego, I'm not saying we shouldn't visualize the life that we want. And I'll give you my example. I'm so thankful that I'm knowing the work that I'm doing is leading to me to the income that will create independence for my family, that will serve the causes that I desire, the people that I feel their pain for, that I desire to have the resources of food above their head, the shelter that they need, I'm thankful for it. I can't wait to speak at all the major fitness conferences, even to those that right now aren't ready for energetic, regenerative, or functional. I can hear those people now waking up and saying, I didn't hear it that way before. I'm so thankful. I can hear the applause of people saying, that made a difference. I can see the person come into me that I want. I can see my children graduating happy that they're following their hearts, not what I've told them to do or what I thought that they should do, that I've trained them to follow their hearts and their true desires and to not be in their ego and their mind, to stay true to their soul. That's what I desire for them. That's what is happening. That's what I'm attracting. So God, Lord, whatever that is to you, bring that to my life. I know I deserve it. I'm capable of it. I keep showing up each and every day in the presence. That's coming to me. Thank you. I'm so grateful for that. That is what you're attracting in your life. That is a different frequency and vibes. When you can start to believe it, just like we said, you believe you can't and don't, you're right. You start to know it, see it, and believe it. It's already happened. It's happening for you. And it's amazing now that I have these gifts. Say, Lord, bring me the men that I need in my life that are rising to this level, that are trustworthy, that aren't in ego, that believe in collaboration. Not that competition's bad. It's just the next level isn't about me. It's about the world and all of humanity. Bring me those vessels and I can feel my hands magnetize and attract that stuff. And it's happening, man. The minute I start doing this and getting out of my mind, here comes Yuri that you're on that thing. And he's like, JR, you get my club. Here comes Megan Walker. People that I'm like inspired or would have had a hard time asking for. I'm very good at giving, had a hard time asking for it. They're asking to collaborate with me, even though I would have worked for it, but that led to burnout and extra work. It doesn't have to be hard or grind for you to have it all when you are attracting it all. So that is the next level. I can have balance. Even me, hey, I can sprint for a period of time and work hard and do that, but that's not sustainable for my family or the world if I'm not fully energized and living in my purpose. So Lord, Source, God, thank you. Bring it all.
JR, you've been lights out, man. I've gotten a ton from this. I actually do this podcast very selfishly because there was a lot I wanted to get from you. And I knew that you were going to bring it. I just didn't expect this, man. So hats off to you, man. I love what you're working on. Please, you have to tell the audience how to find you. Any things that you want to share about the projects that you're working on? And please plug the book away, because my main audience are healthcare providers. And I think that they need to have a little bit of taste of that actual process that you laid out.
Yeah. So if you go to either one of my websites, jrburgessconsulting.com, there's my 3-book stack on there. But if you're wanting to, again, problem number one, you got to start somewhere. You're not attracting the patients, the influential doctor. Just read chapter 3 alone. It's how we became the top volume stem cell clinic. It's the 4-pronged opt-in, how to create the organic, how to get paid. Got to have the right infrastructure and patient journey in and offers before you start jumping to that. There's a sequence that makes your marketing and strategy work. And that's the starting place. If you're wanting an already, again, successful at attracting it, then my next book is the 5 pillars of cash practice success. The personal pillar, work on yourself, the business pillar, the marketing and sales, the lifestyle medicine clinics that get us into a model, and then integration, how to tie it all together so it is actually scalable. That's the other place. But if you are listening and you're in that mindset and you're in that burnout and fear, one of my greater passions now is I do physician or practitioner retreats where we're helping the healers heal so they can get to that next level. And what I'm working on beyond that right now is the ultimate integrative healthcare system that changes the world. So bringing the thought leaders together that aren't an ego, that are willing to change healthcare. And it's not about me. It's about what's the world's need. So stay tuned for that.
Dude, JR, man, again, brother, I really do appreciate your time talking today. You've laid out a ton of strategy. I'm going to have to break this up into multiple things I can share out to other people because there's just a lot there. And man, I look forward to kind of following your whole journey, man. So thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you for what you're doing. Your energy, your passion, even when you showed up there, is so good. And you're such a leader. And I appreciate you doing what you're doing. Sales and communication is the ultimate standpoint of living in truth in business and family and life. And most people run from it because it's the scary part. but it's everything. So what you're doing is the platform to, if somebody's open and ready, to change the world. So such a need. Thank you for all that you're doing and for having me and sharing me to your audience. What an honor.
I appreciate this. Seriously, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Boom, we're out.
All right, so hopefully you had a chance to capture some of that, because he left a lot out there for us, man. JR is just a beast, as you guys can tell. It would mean a lot to me. If you could just go follow me on Spotify, or if you're not on Spotify, just drop me a rating on Apple. It really just helps get the distribution out. It lets me know that you guys like the content or interested in the content. And you could be honest too. If you don't really like it, drop the one star. I get it. But if you appreciate any of it, man, a 5-star rating would be amazing. But either way, I would love to get your feedback. And with that said, thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to dropping more and more episodes.